her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
Brewers lose to the Cubs last night. We will get into that a little later in the show as Jacob Mizorowski will make his second start for your Milwaukee Brewers. But I want to get back to this Ed Policy conversation because Ed Policy did speak with the media yesterday and there were a lot of things that were discussed. And I think most of them pretty positive. But Chewy, the thing that you were most honed in on was that he said he is not going to extend the contracts of Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. But he also doesn't believe in the lame duck year. So to you, this is a put up or shut up. This is a 2025 is time to show what you got, time to show what you can do, huh?
Yeah, he's looking to how they did in their... Did they come in at the same time?
No.
8 years are going on, right?
So this is going to be, I believe, the eighth season for Goody, the seventh season
okay.
for...
Okay, so he went back, evaluated... Took a look at it. They haven't won an NFC championship game. They've been twice. Had an opportunity to win both and didn't. So I agree with them, you know, and I think I said this way back when, like, whether they're on the hot seat or not. I don't think their seat is hot. I don't even know if it's warm. But there is some heat coming out of the seat. Fair. I mean, it seems like they've been just spinning wheels and spinning wheels. There's been coaches
but
that have been.
But are they spinning wheels? Like, again, this was part of it. They had to clear out Rodgers. They had to eat some salary cap. They had to start a rebuild, even though Goody, for whatever reason, didn't want to use that word, even though his actions clearly pointed to that of going with the youth movement, not bringing back any veterans, trading away a veteran in the middle of a season a couple of years ago in Rasul Douglas. Like, they're still in, like, the rebuild part.
They are?
I mean,
that
if you
second half of the first season kind of screwed things up because you saw how good they can be.
Yeah.
And they were close. But let's just say, all right, let's say they go 11-6 again and exit first round of the playoffs. Are you giving him an extension?
I think you have to.
I don't think you do.
So you're going to fire him? Because he doesn't want to. I mean, he said he doesn't want to do lame duck. Doesn't mean he necessarily won't do the lame duck. But it seems like he wants to avoid that.
There's a couple of things at work here. To me, this is just a natural point of evaluation, right?
Yeah.
The transition of Murphy to Policy feels like, okay, a little new blood in there. We're just going to see how everything is working. Not to say that he doesn't agree with what Murphy has been doing, but to the point that both of you are making, the results have not been there. The desired results have not shown up. So let's figure out why. What is it that we are doing or not doing that is keeping us from our goals? And to me, that's just a natural transition of power. Evaluate what's going on. From everything that I read, it seems like he really likes all of the people, LaFleur, Goody, and Russ Ball. In fact, he said, I love them, I trust them, I respect them, I have terrific relationships, both working and personal, with them. That doesn't mean that, like, the recipe is right. You could have the right ingredients and still not come up with a good recipe because your ratios are off or the dynamic is off. So I think Policy, to me, that's how I'm reading it, is I think all of these guys are fully capable of getting the job done. But maybe we need to tweak the recipe a little bit. We need to tweak the ratios a little bit. How much someone is weighing in on this? How much another person is contributing to this? He already said that he needs to evaluate the communication, make sure that they are communicating, it sounds like, more often. So right there is something that he has already diagnosed as, I think communication is, quote unquote, an issue, and We can evolve it. We can make it better. We can do something where communication hopefully leads us to those goals. Does that make sense to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's just to me, we've just started spinning wheels here. All right, what if we go Rashawn Gary has another six-sack season and Lucas Van Ness is just, you know what he
well,
is.
Well, Gary's probably gone. You keep Lucas Van Ness because he's on a rookie deal.
And then you lose Halfley. Halfley gets a head coaching job.
I mean, if the Packers aren't as... I mean, if we're talking about the Packers being disappointing this year, doesn't man... That, to me, would lower the likelihood of Halfley leaving.
But if Halfley, who is already getting interest, although it seems like it's pretty marginal at this point.
Yeah, it's not like he was a serious candidate for anyone last year.
If the defense performs well and the offense takes a step back, or the offense, to the conversation we have had, does not improve, Halfley could be a head coaching candidate with the defense just being better, right? They don't have to blow the
and he's got experience as a head coach. We're like, I mean, Ben Johnson doesn't. That's sometimes a little bit of a head scratcher. How's he going to be? Because we've all said it. Look, there's good coordinators and crappy head coaches.
Yeah, but also being a head coach in the NFL is drastically different than being a head coach in college.
Sure.
It's a different job.
But, I mean, he could be gone.
If he's gone...
Let me ask you this, though.
If Halfley leaves, the likelihood of, like, the perfect storm in which the Packers defense just outperforms everybody and Halfley is on everybody's list, like, I can't imagine a world where Halfley leaves and the Packers aren't in a really good spot.
Let me ask you this, and it's kind of on the spot, okay? Equate LaFleur and Gutekunst to a player on the team whose contract is going to be up. Who are they? They're not
Zach Tom.
Are they A players?
Because Zach Tom was better, right?
Zach Tom is better than.
Who are they? You know, is it?
Well, and it can't be one of the younger players that we have talked
Quay
about.
Walker. With
the, well, that's what I was going to say. But the problem is, I still think that Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur have more of a resume than Quay Walker does. I've seen Matt LaFleur.
Correct.
I've
seen
Brian Gutekunst. Quay Walker, I know you guys disagree with me on some part on this, but, like, I still think he's a work in progress.
But is LaFleur and Goody going to want to be the highest paid coaches and GMs in the league? Because I ain't paying them that.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine that they know that without a championship, they're not going to demand the top salary.
Pay them something fair?
Yeah.
Would they take it?
I think so.
I don't know if they would. I don't know if they would.
So why would you think that they wouldn't take it, something that's fair? I have no idea what they make now.
Because I think LaFleur thinks he's better than he is.
But you're not going to get another job.
Who, LaFleur?
Yeah.
Oh, he'd get another head coaching job.
No, not at the price you want.
Well, there's a million teams that would take.
And then your chances are you're starting over with a crappy situation.
Hold on. You asked about the comp. Are they Jordan Love before this past year? Flashes of brilliance. Signs that you could be really, really good, top tier, but not in... Well, no, because that's the thing, right? It was the not enough versus enough.
I have a real problem with... Because I trust power rankings.
Way too much, I would say, but
I have
digress.
A problem with when you are the number one power ranked team in the NFL, which they were when they played Tampa Bay, and they were when they lost to San Francisco, and you lose. I have a problem with that.
Well, you just interpret it as underperforming, underachieving.
Correct.
But again, that's to me, that's a different era of those two.
But it's still in the resume.
But it's down toward the bottom.
Okay, Jordan Love has the same season. Let's just say it was this upcoming season is meh.
What's meh?
Same as last year.
11. I mean, if they win 11 games, they're sticking around.
And then lose in the first round.
Yeah, they're sticking around.
For how much?
I mean, again, it's going to be a fair deal. And who cares how much it is? It's not my money. It doesn't come off the salary cap. I don't give a rip how much they pay those two. That doesn't matter to me. They got $500 million in the kitty that they can spend on whatever they want to spend
on. I really like this question that Chewy posed to us. I mean... Shocked, but I really like this question that Chewy posed to us. What's the player comp? If the list of players who we can consider are like Zach Tom, Quay Walker, Christian Watson. Ooh, is it Watson? Is Christian again potential through the roof?
Is it Matt LaFleur the number one candidate if he gets fired across the NFL?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you don't want to be in that spot. You don't want to fire the guy that becomes the number one candidate amidst
the hot commodity. Yeah.
But if it's Christian Watson, we know what he's going to make. He's not making $32 million like Lamar or whoever.
I don't know why
you
have it in your head that these guys would demand to be paid the highest in the league. Unless you know something we don't. I don't think they've ever made that demand
before.
Well,
I can tell you this.
They would have a better chance of making that demand coming off of the NFC Championship game runs.
They're not going to take Christian Watson money.
No.
Right?
No, they would. I mean, because it depends upon what Christian Watson makes, but they would take a fair deal. Because, I mean, look, Goody has also, and I don't think that Ed Policy is going to lowball these guys. Like, Brian Gutekunst is building something. He is going to want every opportunity to see that through. And to the Matt LaFleur point, yeah, LaFleur would be the hottest head coaching, but also he doesn't want to start over. Like, he's been a part of this build.
Into Policy's brain.
He doesn't want to get
fired.
And
I'm looking at this. I'm like, why would he say to keep the Packers in Green Bay? Why? That is, like, insane to us, right? And then he says he's not going to extend these two. Is he maybe posturing there to be like, hey, if you guys don't have a great year or get close to the NFC Championship game, I want to get rid of the three-head monster, go back to my dad's deal with San Francisco. So one of you guys are going. I'm just looking at from posturing.
Yeah. I would not connect those two dots.
He could have very easily said, instead of, no, we're not extending them, we'll look at it. You know, there's a lot. That's number 28 on my list. I'm on number 3 right now. We'll look at it. And that would have been softer instead of no.
Yeah, look, I agree with you there, but I'm not connecting the dot of, hey, we want to win football games. We want to keep the Packers in Green Bay. We have strong community connections in terms of his three goals. I think the keeping the Packers in Green Bay has just been a mantra of any president. And look, it was more of a real thing that Bob Harlan had to deal with.
Yeah.
In terms of getting the stadium passed. And once they renovated the stadium and once Mark Murphy built up, part of Murphy building up Titletown is to come up with different revenue sources for the Packers to be able to make money. Now that those things exist, I have an incredibly hard time imagining the Packers leaving. But the second the Packers do not become a profitable franchise, which is never going to happen in today's NFL because it's gotten too big. But that's just been, I think, a guiding mantra that's been passed down from Harlan to Murphy and now to Policy.
And don't discount this. He didn't come from the Raiders. He didn't come from the Jets. He came from the 49ers, which is, like Green Bay, an uber-proud organization, and he's going to run it like that.
He's been here for 13 years, though.
Yeah, but
he grew up with his
dad. There's a part of me that also thinks that, like, he feels the drought of championships. And obviously, anybody who takes over that role, that's going to be the priority. Get back to the championships. Mm-hmm. And he said as much. So what does that entail? What are we not doing well enough right now? And again, we could make the argument that it is the development of these players. If you're a draft and develop franchise, show me the development. And then he could sit there going, I got to problem solve this. I got to figure out how we can get better at developing superstars, how we can be better at being back in championships. We got a lot of people, guys, on the Carbless Talk and Text line weighing in with comps on Chewy's question. Ian says, Kenny Clark, you've performed in the past, but you got to have a good year to get another contract with this team. Brian in the 602 says, they are Love and Gary, potential and flashes, but their baseline consistency is average at best without desired results. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff by you two. We got to take a break. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning, talking about those Milwaukee Brewers and giving you the nonsense of the day. Stick around.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. So what does that mean? If you're dealing with kind of fatigue, you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, those are all signs of low testosterone. I thought it was, when I was feeling those things, I'm getting older, that's just the way it is. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Mentality can help you and come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. So go to lowtusa.com, go through their process, see if you're dealing with low testosterone, and then see if you can work with Mentality and get that customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more, lowtusa.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof, like, mm-hmm. just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
The player comps, Chewy threw this out there. I actually don't think it's a bad thing. As Ed Policy says, he will not be extending Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. What's the player comp? Who have they most performed like on the Green Bay Packers that they would have to make a decision on, that they would have to decide? we're going to extend them or we're not going to extend them. We're going to part ways with them. Who's the comp? We've gotten some suggestions. Kenny Clark, Jordan Love, Rashawn Gary. Let us know who you think and give us your explanation. I don't think there's any right or wrong answer. It's just a fun exercise here. All right. I want to get to the nonsense for today. And the nonsense today, guys, is actually pretty good.
Enough with this nonsense.
It would be front office malpractice. Whether or not Giannis blesses this or not, to not go out and aggressively pursue a trade.
Mobley for Giannis, straight up. What do you think? Call it in right now.
Done.
You're done if you're Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I think it's a great trade.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
It's the season of nonsense.
All right, so we got Bill Simmons entering the chat. Bill Simmons, who...
Again. His voice is in the open about that dip bleep trade for Mobley.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, we've included him. So he had Doc Rivers, head coach of your Milwaukee Bucks, on his podcast. And, well, Doc Rivers weighed in on all of the nonsense, of all of the rumors. Joshy, I'm going to leave this up to you. We got a bunch of stuff from Doc Rivers. What do you think is the most impactful, the most significant contribution from Doc Rivers on the nonsense?
No, I don't know how many more times Giannis has to say he wants to be a Buck and he wants to win a title with a Buck. And it's so cool to me, you know, because it's not the way it's done anymore. But with certain guys, you know, I don't think Steph Curry would ever leave Golden State. Ever. And I'm hoping, obviously, Giannis is the same way. That's the way he's been so far. And it's been great. It's been awesome.
96-4, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
96%. He's staying. 4%. He decides he asks for a trade.
Tough to go to 100% until you hear it from Giannis. But coming from, obviously, a very high-ranking official within the Milwaukee Bucks, Doc seems pretty confident that Giannis is going to be in Milwaukee and he's going to be coaching the next season.
I'm sure they have talked since the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so he knows. Giannis is probably just having a little fun.
He's having a lot of fun.
He's just having fun with
this. If you follow him on social media, Giannis is having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Is there, now, I don't want to push back too hard or poke many holes. Is there any bit of this that could come off as maybe posturing?
Wow, we got a lot of posturing on the show this morning.
Publicly displaying a level of confidence that might be unjust based on the current level of information. I'm led to believe Doc Rivers knows. But in this spot, if there is uncertainty and Bill Simmons puts you to the question, isn't the right stance to just say, yeah, he's coming back, he wants to be a Buck and he wants more championships here, even if that's not true?
Maybe he doesn't feel like it's his story to tell. Maybe he's weighing in from his perspective. He doesn't feel like it's his job to make the formal quote-unquote announcement for Giannis.
It's fair to say Doc has a lot more information than anybody else.
Yeah.
And a lot more information that's out there publicly.
Because he could have said, look, we're giving him space. We're letting him do his deal, go back to Greece, unwind. It's only been a month and a half or whatever. But he didn't. He said, no. So he knows. Coaches talk. Coaches talk to players a lot more than front office personnel talk to players. You know? So he knows. It's just let Giannis have fun with it.
He is having fun.
Yeah.
All over social media.
Mm-hmm.
But posting videos. He's posting pictures. As far as we know, is he still traveling, Gabe? Is that the
I believe he's back in Greece. I think he's in Greece right now.
Still overseas. So the next inevitable question that Bill Simmons asked of Doc Rivers is basically, what do you think of the current state of the NBA? Like, how do you legitimately think that if Giannis is back, this team can compete? Josh, you go ahead and give me what Doc Rivers said about the state of the NBA currently.
I don't think there's a team. You know, we're worried about Denver, but they let a lot of guys go and they're not the same. There's no dominant team right now. But we have one of the dominant players. And so we have a shot. And so does the Knicks and You know, Boston, we'll see by the end of the year if Tatum can come back. I hated that injury. I hated seeing it. But and in the West, too, like, you know, Oklahoma, let's say if they win it. Clippers, Denver, Lakers.
Minnesota.
Golden State has a full year now with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Shoot. It's wide open. And that will be great for the league.
Why do you mention Cleveland?
Probably just forgot.
Okay.
I don't think it's a slight on Cleveland. I mean, he almost forgot Golden State and Stephen Curry. So,
yeah,
just kind of threw them in on the end.
Does Cleveland deserve to be mentioned?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I agree with him. It is kind of wide open. There isn't
And he's a using that team. As a, this will work in our favor. He's saying without there being a dominant team, given what we know about how the Bucks will likely be structured the upcoming season, we got a shot. Even though no one thinks we have a shot, we have a shot.
They can find a way to improve their depth as the season goes along. It's probably going to be by playing some younger players, getting them experience, and hoping that they develop. But they have to improve their depth.
But behind the curtain, he's, let's win a playoff series.
Yeah, oh gosh. If they win a playoff series this year.
Because coaches are pretty realistic. You know.
If they win a playoff series with a third of their salary cap tied up with a guy who's got an Achilles injury, that would be unbelievable next year.
Like he's saying it, but not saying it. It's like next year's going to be a step.
Yeah.
It's going to be a step.
Especially if they are, again, seemingly their plan is to try to get younger if they can. And if you're going to be playing some of those younger players, it just, that's, there's a process to that. You don't just run up to the front of the line and be like, oh yeah, it's just because we have Giannis. No, you have to have these depth and these guys give confidence in those playoff type situations.
How do you get Giannis from doing too much though? Because I can see that happening.
You don't.
Which the way he plays.
Limit his minutes, but then opens is he going to buy into that?
Can you tell him just play smart?
I think he thinks he plays smart.
And honestly, he has gotten better at that. Eric Name's got a great piece over at The Athletic kind of showcasing some of his playmaking abilities instead of just barreling into defenders, being smarter about, hey, the double team's coming. Now I can pass to this guy in this spot and being smarter as he gets older instead of just, again, still attacking and still getting to the rim, but not doing it as recklessly and as frequently.
Okay.
I'm with you. I will not be able to go 100% that Giannis is back until Giannis says, and he may not say, right? We talked about it the other day. Yeah. I am not divorcing you. Maybe he doesn't feel like he needs to say it. I think fans are hoping just to hear it from his mouth, even though an awful lot of people out there who are paying attention to all of these things believe wholeheartedly Giannis is back in a Bucks uniform this upcoming season. If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank helps guide you every step of the way. They have been fantastic for us on our mortgage when we refinance and any of our life's big decisions. You will get fast, flexible mortgage pre-approvals straight from Great Midwest Bank's experienced and, most importantly, local law officers. From start to finish, bank with confidence. Great Midwest Bank is your simply local equal housing lender. You can see all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have 5 safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
2 field goals, 2 safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Continue. Yes. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
We love Professional Construction, Inc. I had a friend over yesterday. We were walking through the basement as the kids were playing. I said, yeah, PCI, they did all of this. And it looks so good. And it's such a great space for our family. And they can do the same for you. You should consider PCI for your next remodeling project, home addition, or maybe you're thinking about building a new home. Either way, the PCI team is here for you. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your project because they know it matters to you. PCI has been in business for more than 20 years, so you know they're good at it. Learn more about PCI and see their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. Brewers are sending flame-throwing Jacob Mizorowski back to the mound tonight, just the second start of his career as he looks to help them beat the Chicago Cubs. We talked about his first outing. I guess it was last week, huh? It goes by so quickly. They grow up so fast. Can he replicate that velocity that you saw, Gabe? You know, we obviously, 5 innings he went out there, no hit, hit, you know, triple digits a number of times, several times early on. Is this the type of thing we can expect from Mizorowski night in and night out, at least for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, that's what he was down in the minor leagues. The guy that just was able to rear back. And again, there's some refinement that needs to happen, especially with some of the off-speed stuff and location of that fastball. But yeah, I'm fully expecting him. That's what he's known for. That's what he was able to do. He threw 103 miles per hour on the last pitch of an outing in AAA. Like, he got to the seventh inning and was still throwing triple digits. So that's the type of guy he is. Whether or not he hits the 14, you know, 100-mile-plus-hour pitches again this week, I don't think so, but he's going to throw multiple 100-mile-an-hour pitches. That's the type of guy he is.
Does a hostile environment bother baseball players? Because in football, younger, and I'm not talking rookies, younger receivers, they don't never get comfortable playing on the road. Like, they'll have a 100-yard game at home or two of them and then disappear on the road because they're a little intimidated by the atmosphere. Does that happen in baseball?
Maybe, but like, the only way you typically hear crowds is usually if you're in the outfield. Like, somebody like heckling you.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're playing 162 of these things, so it's never really that hostile in the middle of June. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the Cubs fans obviously want the Cubs to win, but
yeah,
I mean, once you get on that mound, you're kind of...
You are? You block it out?
You can, yeah.
Because it's real comfortable being at home.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But I think it was very purposeful that his first start was at AmFam Field.
Okay.
But, I mean, unless there's something different about the mound, that would be more impactful than... Because, again, you're out in the middle of the field. You're pretty far away from any sort of crowd. Okay.
It's tough always to guess how baseball is going to shake out. Brewers lost last night. Still a fun game. Good to watch. But Mizorowski walked 4 batters in his first outing. That is something that obviously we will look to see him curtail as he continues to go on. Gabe, how do you measure his success this year? Is it getting wins? Is it just getting reps? What is the way that you will say at the end of the year, you know, how you evaluate Mizorowski's first season in the bigs?
Yeah, I mean, if he can keep the walks down, you know, as hard as he throws, the strikeouts are going to come. I mean, he had 5 in his first, you know, 5 and 5 innings. You know, you're at 9 strikeouts per 9. That's always a good mark for a starting pitcher. He's going to get roughed up from time to time. It's going to happen because he's a rookie. But yeah, I think kind of keeping an eye, not necessarily on the wins and losses record, just because, especially, I think they're going to not necessarily allow him to work into the 6th, 7th inning all that often. They're going to be pretty protective of him. Might cost him a win or two on that record. Yeah, what's the strikeout to walk ratio? I think that's a good one to keep an eye on. What is that ERA is a good thing to keep an eye on. And that's going to give you an idea of the type of success that he can have going forward.
Does he have a different pitch count? Because he's young or no? Like, what is his pitch count? 100 if he's pitching well?
Yeah, I think they'll still let him go. Again, I'm more worried, Chu, about what's his innings count going to be as the season drags along. He threw 97 innings last year, which was a career high. Now, you know, like Freddie Peralta, fully expecting him to get up over 200 innings at some point this season, because he's been around for a long time. I would be shocked if you look at the minor league numbers and the major league numbers, and that adds up to a 200 number for Miz. So that's something that I'm keeping an eye on. Yeah, in terms of game to game, yeah, he'll be around 90 to 100.
Okay.
Each
quality
and every game.
Starts? You look at quality starts at all for Miz? Or is it okay if he goes out after 5?
It's okay, I think, if he goes out after 5. And at times they might protect him. Like last night, they decided that, hey, Chad Padraic has to learn a lesson here. He's pitching very well. We can't take him out, even though he had a bump in the road. And Murphy said after the game, he's got to learn how to work through some of those rough patches. I wouldn't be surprised if they protected Miz a little bit more than that.
I want to tell you guys just how excited I am about this kid. I went out and bought the Topps Now card. I went out and bought the Topps.
How much?
It was like $8.
All right, a little cheaper than Skeens.
Mizorowski tops now for his debut. They took a picture of him in the debut at AmFam Field. They threw it on a Topps card. So I was like, oh, I want that. I want to own that. I don't know if it's going to be worth anything or it's more.
What are you
just
going
like,
to do with it?
I don't know.
You're going to put it on the mantle in the living room?
No. I gotta, you know what? I don't want to tell you where I keep my baseball cards, but I keep them somewhere in my house. I got a spot where I keep my baseball cards, but I thought, yeah, it's kind of fun to have a Mizorowski debut. Man. Topps now.
Jen
debut
really
card.
Doesn't trust me. Doesn't trust me with the
not even you. Yeah. It's just the general audience.
Just doesn't trust me when she's getting scammed. I'm trying to tell her she's getting scammed. Don't even tell me where she keeps scared that I'm going to go break into her house
I'll
and steal her baseball cards.
I'm not going to tell everyone where I keep my collection of baseball cards. Come on, that's just
your collection.
That's something that Chewy would do.
When's the last time you bought a baseball card?
I buy every once in a while. I buy some cards. You want me to bring my collection in at some point? You guys can look
sure.
at
what's
it.
What's your best card?
I don't know. I gotta look. I'll look.
Okay.
I'll go through and look.
Is this like a long time of collection?
I collected baseball cards when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And then at some point that collection disappeared. Yes, Dad hit a
Dad
tough stretch.
It out.
I think he took them down
yeah,
to the
my
pawn
brother
shop.
Did
I was
the
like,
same
what
thing.
Can I get for these? Your brother threw away your baseball cards?
No, he sold them when I went away to college. The rat. He's gotta be that bloodline with the cousin who wanted the tickets to the Super Bowl and still. I got a lot of people's. I got a lot of problems with you people.
Now you're going to hear about it.
I had two Dave Winfield rookie cards.
Ooh.
Which were worth a little juice.
Sure.
Had a Pete Rose, not rookie, but like a 68. I had some good stuff. Like the nobody sold it for them.
One of my favorite things to do as a kid was to get the Beckett magazine that had the listing of how much the value of all the cards were and see the ones that I had, like how much they were worth. Again, pre-internet, obviously.
Well, same thing with the Topps checklist. Every once in a while, you'd get the card that had the checklist on it, and you'd be like, oh, I got this one, I need this one. Right? You know, need it, got it, that's what it was. Anyway, long story short, I'll take a look at my baseball card collection and figure out my best card is.
Are you putting these in a binder? Are they organized in any sort of way?
Mine were in a binder, a thick binder.
I got them in a box. Some of them are in plastic. Some of them I haven't even opened. Are you at least going to put this, again,
there's a plastic sleeve.
So many questions.
I do have a lot of questions.
Yeah, it seems like disrespect in the card.
Yeah, like, no, do you have the hard plastic that you can put some of these behind?
Some of them,
okay.
Not all of them.
But. Well, obviously not all of them, but you got to put the Mizorowski card behind a hard plastic.
As soon as I get it, I will. I haven't gotten it yet.
Do they still sell the gum? Or is the gum still in the baseball card packs?
Heavens, no.
No?
What do you mean no?
That was the best thing about the baseball cards. Oh.
I could have given you a piece of cardboard.
I know.
You wouldn't have been able to tell the difference.
It would last like 46 seconds. And then you'd be like, all right, I'm done with that.
46 seconds? You got a good one.
It would taste the exact same if you opened a pack from the old days today, right?
Would that even be legal anymore with the level of like food security? And like, because just tossing it on... in a
cardboard.
Right. That's not really
sanitary.
Yeah. I think we have standards now that don't allow things like that.
Yeah, but they're not that high, if we're being honest. That's a whole other conversation.
It's gotten a little bit better.
The food industry is not, especially here in the United States. Finding the right home is a journey, sometimes quick. Sometimes you got to be patient, but it should always be exciting. And the WeSell group at Keller Williams understands that. They're not just about closing deals. They're about finding the perfect home and building relationships on the way. Whether you're ready to move right now or starting to look or even thinking about selling, the WeSell group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Start your journey today at WeSell.kw.com. That's WeSell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
have. Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight,
and they
six,
lost.
6-7-5-3-0-9
on 94.5 ESPN.
For your next big event, Noble Catering has to be your first call. Southeastern Wisconsin's premier craft caterer, preferred by over 30 venues in the area. And coming in the spring of 2026, Noble's new headquarters, Brixton's Turn, a 400-person event venue located in the heart of Bayview's Harbor District.
Have beverage needs for that upcoming party? Neat Beverage Catering offers mobile bartending to elevate that event. And last but certainly not least, check out the stunning Riverfront Bar inside the Associated Bank River Center Vault. A perfect summer spot before a night on the town or even a ball game. Featuring happy hour specials, a menu with tremendous flatbreads, and my favorite, the Raw Bar. And of course, you also get an incredible view of the Milwaukee River.
I'm guessing the Ed Policy conversation will continue on Wilde and Tausch. The biggest takeaway today was not the keeping the Packers in Green Bay, because I think we can all agree that that's sort of either, Gabe, your thought, what they say, the presidents of the Green Bay Packers, or a little bit of posturing for this potential conflict with the stadium slash city where their lease is up in 2032, I think it is, and they're trying to keep things even, and that might not work. So it just might be throwing out there like, oh, you never know, we may have to leave. But the idea of Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, job security, and will they, you know, still be here if the season doesn't go well, I think that's up for discussion.
They would have to miss the playoffs for them, I think, not to get an extension. Or if they like backdoor their way in at 9-8, then you're like, eh. But if they win double digit games, they're getting the extensions.
But there may be some.
Probably not as long, though.
Oh, they probably get like a 3 or 4 year extension.
Okay.
There may be some finagling, though. There may be some movement. There may be some changes internally to the dynamic, to the recipe, to the structure of things.
I can't imagine as long as both of them are there.
Yeah, I think you have over to, the other. That's
you have to keep the structure until you get rid of one, or more than likely, whenever you get rid of the head coach.
Why? Our company reorgs all the time.
No, they got rid of Ashton because Ashton wanted more power than Brian D, and they said, sorry.
Not what happened.
You're going to Madison.
That's what I heard.
I heard the same thing.
Not what happened.
Power place.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, don't forget, we got the weekly wager out at Potawatomi Casino Hotel this evening, 6 to 7, right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. And Wilde and Tausch is next here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.